Hello, welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. My name is Susan Piver, and I am delighted to be able to give you meditation instruction. I'm so happy that we can sit together. Today we're going to sit together for our customary 10 minutes, and we're going to start momentarily. Excuse me, so please take your seat and get settled, whether you're on a cushion on the floor, with your legs crossed loosely in front of you, like me, take my word for it, or in a chair, which is completely great and excellent. And if you are in a chair, please sit with your feet flat on the floor and really get a sense of earth, of being right here, firmly planted. It's always a good way to start your practice. Nowhere else to go, nothing else to do, but this right now, relating with your own mind, your own being, your own heart. And even if it's just for 10 minutes, that really, really counts. It really, really changes things, in case you are wondering. Excuse me, and speaking of hearts, as we get settled, I want to take this opportunity this Monday after Valentine's Day, if you happen to be watching this on February 16th, when it goes out, to say a few words about love and heartbreak. And P.S., excuse me, if you are a participant in the daily Dharma gathering, which happens every evening at 8 p.m. East Coast time, I'll be giving the teaching this evening, February 16th, and going into more detail on this topic of heartbreak. As some of you may know, I wrote a book called The Wisdom of a Broken Heart, and it's about applying the brilliance of the Dharma to this incredibly difficult and beyond difficult state. And, you know, interestingly, for something 2,500 years old and mainly created, it seems, by dudes, it's really amazingly relevant and profound and helpful and, I think, really great. So anyway, this all comes on the heels of Valentine's Day. If you celebrate that in your country, I'm sorry, because it seems like it's some weird man-made holiday designed to make everyone feel bad. I've never heard of anyone really going, yes, Valentine's Day, worked out great. But anyway, that's not the point. So Valentine, Schmalentine, let's just leave that aside. And what is the wisdom of a broken heart? And I'm going to make this very brief because I want to get to our practice. Because it doesn't seem wise. It seems awkward and incredibly uncomfortable, deeply painful, so profoundly uncomfortable with every breath. However, there is wisdom in it, and this is the source of the wisdom. And again, this evening I'll say more. There are some things in this life that we cannot game. We are all very good at gaming situations, meaning trying to make them work out for our benefit, seeing them in the light of our opinions and prejudices, no matter how, you know, enlightened they may be, they're still opinions and prejudices. And we're really smart. You're really smart. And sometimes we use that intelligence to pretend that certain things aren't happening or are happening. When these situations come into our life that prevent us from doing that, the opportunity for genuine wisdom beyond conventional mind also arises. And among the things that we cannot game, and by game I mean we cannot make them be there when they're not there, and we cannot make them go away when they are, I would include love and heartbreak in that category. Love and heartbreak, we can't make them be here when they're not here. No matter how great you are and smart you are and how hard you try, nor can we make them go away when they are here. So they're bigger than us, and they snap our conventional mind like a twig. And though that space that follows the snap is profoundly uncomfortable and worse, nonetheless, there is a state of profound wakefulness and freshness and brilliance that is also present. And again, and this is the last thing I'll say before we practice, although it feels like blank, it is also a transformative state that if you turn towards it and lean into it and breathe with it, will make you more capable of love and wisdom. And if you try to pull away from it, which you can't, as we all have tried, when, you know, at one time or another, it just roars back. So somehow sitting down with it, facing it, relating with it, you assume the seat of power. And more love, more wisdom, and more power are good things in my book. So without further ado, let's begin our practice. Begin your practice by sitting up straight and let your shoulders drop down the back a little bit and feel your heart exposed. And because your back is straight and strong, it protects the soft opening in the front that is nothing more or less than an indication of your deep humanity, profound goodness, and great tenderness and capacity for love. And as one who has such capacities for love and goodness, you can proclaim your dignity by showing your heart. The sit bones root down on the cushion or chair, sort of, and this downward rooting sort of further emphasizes the sort of beauty of the upward rising of your torso and heart. So you're grounded and open. That's a good combination. The best. The hands are resting, palms down, just above the knee. And they're resting because they're doing things all day long, so now they can rest. The mouth is closed, which is awesome because you don't have to say anything and you can enjoy the silence. So into this incredible symphony of groundedness and openness and dignity, you can add stillness. It's nice. So let yourself fall silent completely. And while the mouth is closed, the lips and teeth can be slightly parted. And the tongue rests on the roof of the mouth, just behind the upper teeth. And let all of these muscles of the jaw, and the mouth, the tongue, the throat, let go and relax. Breath comes in and out through the nose. And the eyes remain open and cast down to a spot about 6 feet in front, or 1.5 meters approximately, or what would be at that distance, in case you have a computer screen right in front of you. Imagine you can look through it to what would be that spot. Ahead. And We sit with our eyes open because we're practicing wakefulness. And it's hard to be awake when your eyes are closed. So to this symphony, we further add, building on groundedness and openness and dignity and stillness, we add wakefulness, bright. I have shown up for my life in this moment. And in this situation that we've created, one thing basically is happening predominantly, and that is that you are breathing. Feel that you are breathing. Feel your body breathe. To continue the symphony metaphor, imagine that with each inhale, the volume, the richness, the beauty swells, and with each exhale, it all quiets. Swells and stills. Your mind will continue to make thoughts, like an audience member listening to the symphony, going, "Did you hear that? What did you think about that?" None of our business what our own minds are thinking right now. Instead, we attend to this beauty of breath and the sensations of groundedness and openness and so on. Just being. And if you notice, you go down at the audience and go, "Excuse me?" Just come back. Let go of your thought. Whatever it is, doesn't matter. Just gently let go. And come back to this incredible beauty that's transpiring just by sitting right here together. Thank you so much for your practice, and thank you so much for practicing together.